Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
A short time ago, the U.S. military carried out massive precision strikes on the three key nuclear facilities in the Iranian regime, Fordo, Natanz, and Esfahan.
The U.S. is calling it Operation Midnight Hammer, joining Israel bombing Iran. The U.S. hitting Iran's nuclear facilities.
I think it is irrelevant to ask Iran to return to diplomacy, because we were in the middle of diplomacy. We were in the middle of talks with the United States when Israelis blew it up.
To get the latest, we'll go to Frankfurt, Chicago, London, and Tehran, which is being bombed as we broadcast. Then Mahmoud Khalil is free. Democracy Now! Was at Newark Airport when he landed.
I just want to go back and just continue the work that I was already doing, advocating for Palestinian rights, a speech that should actually be celebrated rather than punished, as this administration wants to do.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United Nations is warning of a spiral of chaos after the United States joined Israel's war on Iran by attacking three Iranian nuclear sites. U.S. stealth B-2 bombers dropped 14 bunker buster bombs, each weighing 30,000 pounds, the largest non-nuclear bombs ever dropped by the United States. The U.S. Navy also deployed 30 submarine-launched Tomahawk cruise missiles. President Trump ordered the attack without seeking congressional approval. The Trump administration briefed some top Republican lawmakers ahead of time, but no Democrats. Trump addressed the nation Saturday night.
Tonight, I can report to the world that the strikes were a spectacular military success. Iran's key nuclear enrichment facilities have been completely and totally obliterated.
Iran decried the U.S. attack as a grave violation of international law, warning it'll result in everlasting consequences. Iran has long said its nuclear program is solely for civilian purposes. In March, Trump's own intelligence director, Tulsi Gabbard, told lawmakers the intelligence community, quote, continues to assess that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon, unquote. But Trump dismissed the findings, saying Friday, quote, my intelligence community is wrong. On Sunday, Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi criticized the timing of the U.S. and Israeli attacks.
Well, I think it is irrelevant to ask Iran to return to diplomacy, because we were in the middle of diplomacy. We were in the middle of talks with the United States when Israelis blew it up.
Araghchi is in Moscow today for talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Following the U.S. attack, Pentagon officials and Vice President J.D. Vance denied the U.S. is pushing for regime change. But on Sunday, President Trump wrote online, quote, it's not politically correct to use the term regime change, but if the current Iranian regime is unable to, MEGA, make Iran great again. Why wouldn't there be a regime change? MIGA, M-I-G-A. At the United Nations, Secretary General Antonio Guterres said he was gravely alarmed by the U.S. attack.
2 days ago, in this very chamber, I made a direct appeal. Give peace a chance. That call was not heeded. Instead, The bombing of Iranian nuclear facilities by the United States marks a perilous turn in a region that is already reeling. From the outset of the crisis, I have repeatedly condemned any military escalation in the Middle East. The people of the region cannot endure another cycle of destruction.
Earlier today, Israel attacked six Iranian airports and parts of Tehran, including the gates of the Evin prison. Al Jazeera reports huge explosions have rocked Tehran. According to one count, Israeli attacks have killed at least 950 people and injured around 3,450 over the past 11 days. Iran launched drones and fired missiles at Israel today in response. One missile struck a power station, cutting off electricity for thousands in southern Israel. On Sunday, the Iranian parliament voted to back the closing of the Strait of Hormuz, one of the world's most important shipping routes. We'll have more on Iran after headlines. Protests took place in major U.S. cities to condemn Trump's strikes on Iran, including in New York, D.C., Boston, Chicago, and Los Angeles. This is activist Nasisa speaking from New York Sunday.
Already, Israel has killed hundreds of Iranians and injured thousands more, and we see that the fighting is now escalating more and more. We're here to say that that's enough, and it's time for the bombing to end.
Columbia University graduate, Palestinian student protest leader Mahmoud Khalil is free. He's been reunited with his wife and newborn son after being released on bail by a federal judge Friday following over 100 days in a Louisiana ICE jail. He was seized by federal agents in March, becoming the first pro-Palestinian campus protester to be jailed by the Trump administration. Mahmoud Khalil spoke briefly Saturday after flying from Louisiana to Newark Airport.
Still, the fight is far from over. The genocide is still happening in Gaza. Israel is still waging a full war against Palestinians across Palestine. The U.S. government is funding this genocide, and Columbia University is investing in this genocide. This is why I was protesting. This is why I will continue to protest with every one of you. Not only if they threaten me with detention, even if they would kill me, I would still speak up for Palestine.
On Sunday, Mahmoud Khalil addressed over 1,000 supporters and the press outside the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in Manhattan, then led a march to the gates of Columbia University. We'll have more from Mahmoud Khalil later in the broadcast. While the world is focused on Iran, Israel's continuing its massacres in Gaza. Israeli attacks killed over 200 Palestinians over the past 3 days, including many who were killed while waiting to receive food and humanitarian aid. Meanwhile, Amnesty International reports satellite images show Israeli forces have completely razed what was left of the southern Gaza town of Gazah. Amnesty said the destruction, quote, provides fresh evidence of Israel's genocide against Palestinians in the occupied Gaza Strip, unquote. In the United Kingdom, the group Palestine Action's leading a major protest in London today amidst reports the Labour government of Keir Starmer will announce a ban on the Direct Action Group under Britain's Terrorism Act. This comes after two Palestine Action activists breached the country's largest Air Force base Friday and damaged two fighter planes in protest of Britain's support for Israel's war on Gaza. The activists also sprayed red paint into the jet's engines and on the runway to, quote, symbolize Palestinian bloodshed, unquote. In Syria, a suicide bomb attack at a Greek Orthodox church in Damascus killed at least 22 people Sunday. Over 60 others were wounded. Syria's interior ministry blamed the attack on ISIS. It was reportedly the first suicide bombing in Damascus since Bashar al-Assad's government was toppled in December. In California, there's mounting public outrage after footage went viral of at least seven masked U.S. Border Patrol agents pepper spraying and brutally beating an immigrant father and landscaper while he worked outside of an IHOP restaurant in Santa Ana. Narciso Barranco is the father of three U.S. Marines. The agents are seen hovering over Barranco, who is pinned down against the pavement as they repeatedly punch him before forcibly putting him in the back seat of an unmarked SUV. The 48-year-old father was taken to a detention facility in Los Angeles after his arrest Saturday. One of his sons told the Los Angeles Times that his father's shoulder was dislocated, that he had not received medical attention. Barranco's son also said his father had not been given any water or food after more than 24 hours in detention. In related news, rallies have continued demanding the release of photojournalist Anthony Orendorff, who is being held at a Los Angeles jail without bail after being arrested while documenting an ICE raid in the neighborhood of Pacoima last week. In more immigration news, a federal judge in Tennessee has ordered the release of Maryland father Kilmar Abrego Garcia from jail, where he's been held since being brought back to the United States earlier this month after being wrongfully sent to and imprisoned in El Salvador. But Abrego Garcia will likely be then taken into ICE custody while he awaits his federal trial. The Trump administration's accusing him of helping transport undocumented immigrants, charges his legal team and family have denied. Kilmar Abrego Garcia pleaded not guilty to trafficking earlier this month. In Ukraine, a major Russian drone and missile attack has killed at least 10 people in and around the capital, Kyiv. It's the second such overnight assault over the past week. The attack hit residential areas and struck a hospital and metro station that serves as a bomb shelter. The government of Belarus has freed the jailed opposition leader Sergei Tikhanovsky, alongside over a dozen other political prisoners after direct talks with the U.S. He was imprisoned in 2020 ahead of national elections in which he planned to challenge the longtime rule of the Belarusian president Alexander Lukashenko. Sergei's wife, Svetlana, ran for president instead, but lost in what was widely viewed as a rigged election. On Saturday, Sergei Tikhanovsky was reunited with his family, who live in exile in Lithuania. He told reporters his children did not even recognize him. He also addressed his supporters.
They call those who oppose them traitors, and I will call anyone who does not resist them a traitor. I want to address all Belarusians now and tell you, if you were waiting for a sign, here it is.
The government of Panama has declared a state of emergency, suspending constitutional protections in the Bocas del Toro province after 2 months of worker-led protests and road blockades in opposition to a contested social security reform. The province is a major banana-producing region where workers have spoken out against exploitive conditions by banana giant Chiquita. The corporation, formerly known as United Fruit Company, fired thousands of striking workers last month. And Texas has become the largest state in the country to require the Ten Commandments be displayed in all public school classrooms. Texas's Republican Governor Greg Abbott signed the bill as a federal appeals court ruled a similar law in Louisiana is, quote, plainly unconstitutional. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United States has joined Israel's war on Iran by attacking three Iranian nuclear sites over the weekend. U.S. B-2 bombers dropped 14 bunker buster bombs on Iranian nuclear facilities in Fordo and Natanz. Each bomb weighs 30,000 pounds. They're the largest non-nuclear bombs in the U.S. arsenal. The U.S. Navy also launched 30 Tomahawk cruise missiles from a submarine at the nuclear site in Isfahan. President Trump ordered the attack without seeking congressional approval. He addressed the nation Saturday night.
Tonight, I can report to the world that the strikes were a spectacular military success. Iran's key nuclear enrichment facilities have been completely and totally obliterated.
Speaking at a news conference in Istanbul following the U.S. strikes, the Iranian foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, said the United States would be, quote, solely and fully responsible, unquote, for the consequences.
Islamic Republic of Iran condemns in the strongest terms the United States' brutal military aggression against Iran's peaceful nuclear facilities. It is an outrageous, grave, an unprecedented violation of the fundamental principles of the Charter of the United Nations and international law. The warmongering and lawless administration in Washington is solely and fully responsible for the dangerous consequences and far-reaching implications
of its act of aggression.
Following the U.S. bombardment, Israel's carried out new waves of strikes against dozens of targets across Iran, many considered symbols of the Iranian regime. This includes bombing the gates of the notorious Evin prison, where political prisoners, regime opponents, and foreign nationals are held. While U.S. officials in the Pentagon and Vice President J.D. Vance have said the U.S. role will not be to pursue regime change in Iran, President Trump's position is less clear. On Sunday, President Trump wrote online, "It's not politically correct to use the term regime change, but if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be a regime change? MEGA," he said, "make Iran great again." For more, we're joined by guests in Brussels, in London, in Chicago. But we begin in Tehran with Mohammad Mirandi, professor of English literature and Orientalism at the University of Tehran, part of the nuclear deal negotiations in 2015. Professor, welcome back to Democracy Now! Can you explain what's happening on the ground as we speak, and specifically over the weekend, the U.S. Joining Israel in bombing Iran?
People across the country are outraged, and contrary to what the regime in Washington and the regime in Tel Aviv seem to expect, people are rallying around the flag, and they are all saying that this was an unprovoked act of war that the Israeli regime carried out with U.S. support as Iran was negotiating. And then days later, in support of the Israeli regime, the United States carried out its own act of war as the Iranians were continuing to negotiate, and right after negotiations with Britain, France, and Germany. So Iranians see the United States as the aggressor, as helping the Israeli regime slaughter Iranians. Most Iranians who've died so far are civilians. And today we've seen the regime strike targets in the Iranian capital, civilian targets, killing more people. We've had funerals across the country, 2 7-year-old children in Tabriz, a city in northwestern Iran, where they had a funeral procession today. So there's anger across the board, and this is going to have huge implications for the future. A generation of young Iranians who many thought that there could somehow be a deal and rapprochement with the United States are seeing the different face of Washington and how Democrats and Republicans demonize Iran alongside one another. People in Iran have been passing around images and footage of CNN demonizing Iran, speaking about sleeper cells in the United States, showing that CNN and Fox News are not different at all. They demonize the country. They use the term regime to delegitimize and justify aggression against the country. And they try to create a false image of the country in order to prepare the grounds for further aggression. These are things that people are seeing, especially the young and educated Iranians who have greater access to international media.
Professor Mirandi, there are many Iranian dissidents, but thousands of people have taken to the streets to protest the U.S. bombing and the Israeli bombing of Iran. Now, Israel's bombed the gates of the notorious Evin prison, where political prisoners are held. Can you talk about the significance of this, and if this has shifted Iranians' views at all at this point? And also, President Trump doing a 180-degree turn, J.D. Vance saying this is not about regime change, we're not against Iran, we're against their nuclear program, and then President Trump saying, no, it's about regime change, MEGA, make Iran great again. Talk about the significance of the prison and what this means. Could it divide Iranians?
No, because Iranians don't see the government and the state in a way in which American media and American establishment, the American establishment sees it. Iran sees the Islamic, Iranians overwhelmingly see the Islamic Republic of Iran as a legitimate state. And now after the aggression, that has increased. Evin prison, the majority of the people there are there because of drug trade. They're linked to the drug trade, and usually they are major figures in the drug trade. You know that in Afghanistan, thanks to the U.S. occupation and the destruction of that country, thanks to the United States over four decades, we have a huge drug problem in Afghanistan, and therefore a lot of the major figures are in that particular prison. Also, we have ISIS members and al-Qaeda members in that prison. And ISIS and al-Qaeda have been helping the Israeli regime carry out drone strikes inside Iran. So I think that is a misreading of the situation in Iran. Ordinary Iranians are looking at the United States as the aggressor, and overwhelmingly, Iranians demand that the government, the armed forces, protect the country and punish the aggressor.
I want to bring into this conversation with you, Mohammad Mirandi, Syed Hussein Mousavian. He is a visiting research collaborator with Princeton University's Program on Science and Global Security. From 2003 to 2005, he served as spokesperson for Iran in its nuclear negotiations with the European Union, author of The Iranian Nuclear Crisis, a memoir, and most recently, Iran and the United States, an insider's view on the failed past and the road to peace. His new op-ed for Middle East Eye headlined, after U.S. attack, Iran could reconsider its nuclear strategy. Thanks so much for joining us from Brussels, Ambassador Hossein Mousavian. If you can respond to what the U.S. has done, it's interesting to have both of you on because Mohammad Mirandi was involved with the Iran deal negotiations in 2015, and you back a decade before.
It is obvious to me that the U.S. and Israeli strikes on Iran is in a clear violation of international law and regulations. It is a clear violation of United Nations security, United Nations Charter. It is in a clear violation of the International Atomic Energy Agency rules and regulations. And many experts now are talking that the current attacks are not only attacks on Iran, they are attacks on non-proliferation treaty. It is it would have definitely a counterproductive result. I mean, the fact is, Amy, that Israel is the only country in the region with 100 to 400 nuclear bombs, and Iran is a member of NPT. Israel is not. Iran does not have nuclear bomb. Israel does have nuclear bomb. And Iran has given the highest, the most inspections to the IAEA during the history of IAEA, and Israel has never given such access to IAEA. And now Iran is the most sanctioned country, and the U.S. is supporting Israel with nuclear bombs, and they both are claiming that they are fighting proliferation in the Middle East. I mean, practically the U.S. is supporting a country with nuclear bomb, attacking a country with no nuclear bomb, claiming that the U.S. is fighting for proliferation in the Middle East. Therefore, Iranians are now looking for TS being member of the non-proliferation treaty, giving every access to the IAEA. And now they have been attacked before they have been sanctioned. And countries like North Korea, Israel, India, Pakistan, which they have never accepted non-proliferation treaty, they have never been attacked. That's why they are now thinking perhaps having nuclear bomb is much better deterrence compared to being member of NPT.
I mean, this is an extremely important point you're making, Ambassador. The issue of whether this would encourage nuclear proliferation, that you have Iran, a non-nuclear nation at this point, being attacked by two nuclear nations, the U.S. and Israel. So the lesson learned is you need to be a nuclear bomb-armed nation not to be attacked. For example, the U.S. isn't attacking North Korea. So if you can talk about what this means and the idea that you can come up with a military solution to what's happening in Iran, it now may be well that the nuclear material has been moved from the place that the U.S. bombed, from Fordo. And so in the end, it's going to take diplomacy anyway.
First of all, from the day one when Israelis, they attacked Iran, I publicly said this is not Israeli strike. Israel has coordinated this military invasion of Iran by the NATO countries, by the U.S., and it is fully supported by NATO, and Iran is confronting NATO, not only Israel. And it is now about 12 days past. Everybody now understand that the NATO countries, they are fully supporting Israel, and the U.S. also attacked Iran by the demand of Israelis. This is number one. Number two, if President Trump really wanted a nuclear deal, he could get it easily, because in his first term, he killed the JCPOA. You remember, JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, was agreed between Iran and the U.S. and the world powers. The United Nations Security Council passed the resolution 2231. The IAEA adopted many resolutions. It was working very well. Iran gave the highest level of access, inspection, transparency measures to the IAEA. Every technical issues with the IAEA was resolved. Even IAEA publicly said all possible military dimension issues are resolved. The deal was working very well. Even beyond the nuclear, Iran and the U.S., they agreed that Iran would buy 100 American passenger planes, the Boeing planes. Even when 16 American sailors, they entered Iranian water territory illegally, Iran released them in less than 48 hours. I mean, everything was going in right direction until President Trump withdrew and imposed the most comprehensive sanctions. This is about the first term of President Trump. In the second term, when he was elected, he actually put an option on the Iranian table, deal under my terms and condition, or you would be attacked. This was not and is not the language of diplomacy. This is the language of threat and bullying. And then we have Iranian Foreign Minister with Araghchi, Iranian Foreign Minister Araghchi with Steve Witkoff. They had three rounds of talks in Oman and Rome, and they agreed on the principles. I mean, they really agreed. Then they agreed that the technical team would see it and they would draft it to be signed. Suddenly, Prime Minister Netanyahu called President Trump, and President Trump backed down. And then Israel attacked Iran. When Israel attacked Iran, then President Trump publicly said to Iranians, unconditional surrender. And then the U.S. attacked. And now after the U.S. attack, now it's saying regime change. Therefore, now everybody, I think, has a correct understanding, well understanding that unfortunately, President Trump is not really for diplomacy and the solution. Otherwise, if really they want a solution on the nuclear, it is easy, because we have three major issues. One is about Iran cooperation with the IAEA. We have the model. The model worked for 3 years very well. Every technical issues were resolved. The nuclear deal, they can agree that all transparency measures, verification measures can be revived based on the deal, and every technical issues can be resolved between Iran and the IAEA. The second issue is about whether Iranian enrichment would be military or civilian. If it is below 5%, definitely would be civilian. Iran is ready to go back back to, like the JCPOA, to go back to enrichment below 5%, to a stop 20%, to a stop 60%. And the third issue is about the Iranian stockpile of enriched 400 kilogram of 60% enriched uranium. I think if there is a comprehensive, fair, and balanced deal, Iran would be ready either to export or to dilute the